everybody. It's Tara. Welcome to our 100th episode. I can't believe we made it this far. We're so thankful that you've joined us along this journey from our friends all the way in Japan, New Zealand, Brazil, the UK, Canada, from the West Coast in the United States to the East Coast. Thank you so much for being with us and happy Record Store Day. Stay tuned to the end of the podcast to hear more Record Store Day picks from our friends of Record Store Society. And check out our website and our social media for a special surprise.
Hey, Tara, you know what today is?
Is it 420?
Sorta. Getting there. I love that answer. Your head is in the right place. But even cooler than that, it's my 100th day in the store.
No way. What?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I can't believe it's been that
100?
Long. It's just like it's sped by. I guess that's what happens when you have such a good time and you're around such cool people.
Yeah. Listening to music, alphabetizing records.
It can hardly be called work. Right?
Right, right. Oh, hi. How are you? I'm Tara.
I'm Natalie.
Take a look around. See if you see any special edition albums you have to get. Let us know if you have any questions.
Oh, yeah.
100 days.
Yeah. And we have another pretty big deal coming up in the music store, too. Another very special record store holiday.
Oh, what could that be?
A sacred day among our store patrons.
Oh, look who it is. It's Eric Levin.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm so glad you're here. We were just talking about special days.
It's perfect timing. It's like, it's as if you were summoned to us from the stars.
Well, I'm happy to be here.
Because Tara, you were just about to say.
It's Record Store Day.
It's totally Record Store Day.
And you, not only do you own one of the coolest record stores in Atlanta, you're also a founder of Record Store Day.
That's right. I went to a music industry convention of my fellow record store owners, and I came with experience from our free comic book day, because Criminal Records is certainly both a comic shop and a record shop. And I thought, hey, we should do this. And everybody agreed. And I still sit on the Record Store Day board. It's my part-time, full-time job.
That's so cool. But can we go? Let's go back a little bit further. Pre-Record Store Day, how and why did you start Criminal Records? How did that start?
It was a beef. I worked at a mom and pop record shop in Daytona Beach, where I'm from, since I was 13, and I got fed up with the owner, who was a Civil War reenactor.
Oh no. Oh gosh, how quaint.
Yes. So at the end of my tenure, at the end of my rope, pretty much on a whim, I opened the store at 19.
Wow.
Yeah. So I really had no plans for a life in it. I just thought this would be a gas, and ended up moving up to Atlanta.
Wow. So you opened a store at 19 in Atlanta, or you
in
opened?
Daytona.
In Florida, and then
a year and a half. And then I decided this was pre-Olympics, but it had been announced. And I don't know, I had the hometown blues, I guess. All my friends had gone to college, and I was kind of ready to move out of my parents' house. So I moved my childhood bedroom and my record store in a big van and set up shop in Little Five Points.
Still there today.
Yep.
It's amazing.
That's pretty spectacular. I mean, at 19, how do you even have the wherewithal to launch a store? How?
My personal inventory of records. It was painful each sale.
Oh, wow.
Oh, gosh.
I'd amassed a large collection from when I started collecting at like 7 years old. And I didn't really get paid at the record store. I got records, which is a truth you'll find among most record store employees. And, $300 in my pocket. So enough gas to get to Atlanta.
I mean, I used to work in the music department at like a books and music combo sort of box store. And I certainly did spend a large portion of my check on CDs and music. So I get that. Oh, yeah. But how many records do you own now, do you think?
Oh, that's a good question. It's not an impressive amount because...
Really?
Yeah, I also helped out at a comic shop that my best friend owned with his dad. And his early lesson was don't collect what you sell.
Oh,
so I consider my personal collection kind of a lending library. You know, I keep it tight. But there are also special precious items that I'll never part with.
Yeah,
that's a pretty spectacular entrepreneurial origin story. Really.
Yeah.
And not only did you start this business, you've kept it afloat now for decades. That's changed the game
with Record Store Day.
Yeah.
You know, that I'm very happy with Record Store Day. I hear complaints worldwide, as any limited edition expensive items will cause. But when I've had stores tell me that this made them stay in business or, you know, this reignited my fire, I've had label people say, I still have a job because of this. And vinyl manufacturers who've opened, you know, cool, creating jobs, creating ideally goodwill. The offshoot of these special releases is just one part of what Record Store Day should be. The original notion, we actually launched that meeting I mentioned of record stores, was the same day that Tower Records closed. And all anybody could ever talk about is Best Buy, Target, and Walmart, and Amazon. And we were all having a good time, having good business in our local communities. We wanted to get journalists interested. And those first couple of years, it was really hard because the editors weren't biting. They just didn't believe the thesis. So it took a couple of years to, party's over here. You know, you're missing it.
Yeah. And that original meeting was that was early 2000s, right? Because didn't Record Store officially kind of kick off 2007, or was it that same year?
Yeah, it went from like, let's do this to, all right, like 4 months later, I think was our first event. I think Warner Brothers made like 4 CDs. You know, the idea was still free comic book day. So I was pushing to get things made to give away and throw a party, throw a barbecue. My first year we had Janelle Monáe played. And wow. He was just, you know, as she is still a local. And God, we had a lot of Manchester Orchestra played that day as well. It kind of went, you know, it was big and bold. And it's only gotten progressively better. The talent that we've had over the years up here, it's staggering.
Yeah. Do you have any insight into what albums get picked every year?
I'm on the selection committee.
Oh, no way.
But I demur cool. unless I see it going what I feel is wonky.
Wonky.
You know, it's a group of about 12 record store owners who are anonymous because they, I don't know why we did them anonymous. So not like it's politics or anything, but we vet what the labels and artists send our way. So it's really hard to say, you're not special enough. Or sometimes it is easy. It's like, oh, you're just doing a different color of that one. Eh, you know, and we do deep research on each title. Like, this hasn't been out on vinyl. Okay, that's cool. But nobody wants it. Or, you know, this is on Discogs for $500. Like, let's make 2,500 of those. Or we suggest quantities. And it's, you know, there's a hippy dippy store in the Northeast that does, you know, old hippie rock. So he's always like, oh yeah, but far out, man. And and I'm like the 80s guy. Like
the 80s guy.
You know, what do you mean? You don't want the Fun Boy 3. Actually, that's on my list. And a lot of that buying group poo-pooed it. And you know, we just lost the leader of Fun Boy 3. Terry Hall. And you know, he's godhead in England. Leader of the Specials, of course. You know, when we consider numbers, we think, okay, 1,000 for the US, 1,000 for the UK. And I was certain we could do 4,000 for the UK on that title. And again, my partners were like, I was like, dude, they just named a street after him in London. It's a big deal. This is important. I had the same fight with his other band, Color Field. Well, that's too obscure, Eric. I was like, no, it's not. It's all the B-sides. It's the greatest hits collection. You're wrong. And so if I don't get my way, then I just go behind everybody's back and tell the label to do what I want.
Yeah.
And then there's the vast majority of things I don't give a fuck about. Can I swear in your store?
Oh, right. Beep, beep. Yes, you can.
Let her rip.
We only swear in this store. No, I'm just kidding. It is always a really good blend of like popular and then all the way to the deep cuts, because sometimes I feel like I'm probably the only one with certain things on my list. And they usually are still there when I finally get there, because I'm not one of those people that shows up at like 5 a.m., that's for sure. So
yeah,
that's a good thing for me. But
yeah, I hate getting to work at 8 a.m. just to get it started.
Oof, yeah.
And I'm very cognizant of, I have this top 10 list here, and I might not get one of them. You know, we get our records at the end of the day after everybody's had a chance to shop.
Oh, that's nice of you.
You know, for me, that's part and parcel. That's part of the whole deal. And I'll be brokenhearted if I don't get some of these hard to get ones. But I also have...
you have connections.
I have connections. Right. I don't really pull them out. But like if I miss the Funboy 3 one, for example, I'll be pissed. But I ordered enough. Yeah. probably have some left over the next day.
That's good.
You mentioned a selection board for each event. Does that stay the same or does it change for each event? How does that work?
We have some stalwarts that have been on that board since the start. Some of our smarter, more open-minded record store owners. Some stores just by their nature, they're busy, busy people, families, hobbies and stuff. And they drop off their communication. And then it's not like we disinvite them. We're like, hey, we're going to take you off this, or hey, we're going to replace you with this person. There is a shuffling every year. And we do this, as you mentioned, Natalie, for Record Store Day in April, but also for the Black Friday event in November.
I was hoping you were going to say it was some kind of American Ninja Warrior obstacle course face off.
Well, name this vintage, name this barcode of this release. Da, 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 da. I don't know, some nerd, something about vinyl releases. I don't know.
While scaling this wall. Yes. Something like that.
Yeah. Most record store owners do not scale walls. We do have a summer camp every August in New Orleans, which is just a gathering of record stores. It's like the one we launched Record Store Day with. But it's really just, it's a business convention. We have vendors, we have labels and distributors, we have music. So it's not a competition, but it's like, hey, we could give out ribbons or badges or something.
It's a community effort. It sounds like you really try to nurture those relationships first, then the business. Maybe that feeds into the longevity.
That's the hardest thing with this summer camp, is that everybody wants to play with their friends.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, everybody gather together. We're in a big room talking about business, and people are just, as they should be, talking about their businesses.
Well, that's great. Yeah. It's cool to hear that, how you're sustaining the heart of the whole mission after all this time, you know?
No, it's just, it's grown so much.
Yeah.
We have international people coming in for the summer camp, which is cool. I mean, when I was a part of thinking of this, I didn't occur to me to think about other countries. It just wasn't on my agenda. Well, now it's so big internationally, I've got friends in faraway places. I don't travel that much, but I've got my counterpart in Paris, a lovely guy named David. I've got a counterpart in Amsterdam, who I really look forward to seeing one day in her record store. And the UK are mad about Record Store Day. They're just crazy.
Oh, I bet.
250 stores on that small island. And the fans are just like, I couldn't get my Kate Bush. This is shite. You know, it's like, oh, God. You know, and I'm answering the emails like, well, shit. Do the math.
That's funny.
You know, she made 1,000 units and there are 250 stores. Were you first in line? Fourth in line? And it's the same thing here. You know, people want to know when to line up. And it's like, well, before the person that wants the record that you want. This year, Sabrina Carpenter is one of the biggest, most excitable record, and I think Criminal Records ordered 60 and we got one. And now we're like, what are we gonna do with one? You know, because every kid in line is gonna want one.
I have no idea who that even is.
Well, it's last year's or this year's Olivia
Taylor,
or the year before's Taylor Swift.
Yeah. I mean, actually, I have questions about that. What are you, how do I say this in a way that isn't scandalous. What are your thoughts on those big artists that get priority pressing sometimes for Record Store Day over like indie bands that maybe had wanted to release their albums around Record Store Day?
Do you have? Currently, it's a myth.
Is it? Oh,
misreporting, okay. Propaganda. I mean, there was a time during the pandemic that it was difficult to source wax vinyl pellets, and there were production issues, but it wasn't Adele printing 12 million. Those were already contracted, and you know, Sony buys, you know, the number of vinyl, so they can do Beyonce's Cowboy Carter and not have it do their pipeline because they got 20 presses rolling on Cowboy Carter. Same thing with Taylor, that comes out the day before Record Store Day this year. You know, she's got that record. I've already ordered 190. And this week, she her label announced that, okay, you indie record stores can have the three colored variants that have a bonus track each. They let us know yet, like Tuesday, the day, you know, so we don't even, I don't know, I already ordered 190 of the regular version, which is still a really cool color. It's like a opaque white. For most stores, mine assuredly, it's the money outlay. That's tough because it's still a gamble. Is anybody going to come to your party? And, you know, you spent a mint on it. But yes, for the crowded space at the pressing plants, I can get a record turned around in 6 weeks. Any indie band can. There are indie dedicated pressing plants. There are women owned and women only plants, which is such a new and cool thing.
That is cool. I didn't know that was a thing.
There's a whole organization called Women in Vinyl that Record Store Day sponsors.
Yeah.
They're doing great work from DJs to stores to vinyl pressing. The market is so much bigger now and international. Canada is very easy to get pressings, but so is the U.S. There's lots of capacity.
Cool. Well, speaking of Record Store Day, I'm really curious what your picks are. Sometimes when we have friends in the store, we play this thing called the High Fidelity Game, where we rank a top five, whatever music themed something. Would you be down to play with us today?
Absolutely.
Awesome.
The real fun part of the day is when your boyfriend, Sean, and I, who works at my store, are...
our competition.
Yes.
Just kidding.
are in front of the customers, like just pulling things off the shelves for them, helping them find things, running outside to say, oh, sorry, we ran out of that. You know, we only got 10. Sorry. We'll take down your name and number to see if we can find it next week from another store or, you know, all of the things we do. And it's the first 4 hours are pretty exhausting. And then poor Sean has to join two bands on stage starting at 2. Which is great. He helped us buy these records and is helping me sell them.
He's a good one for sure.
Well, he needs to get you some more t-shirts.
Oh yeah, more t-shirts, more records. Hook me up. Well, okay, so I'd love to know what your top five Record Store Day 24 picks are. Do you want to go first? We'll take turns.
Okay. Yeah, well, my first one is Fun Boy 3.
Can you hear that? Talking about us, telling lies, is that a surprise? Can you see them, see right through them?
Terry Hall's second band, after the Specials. This collection is amazing. It's all the extended 12-inch releases, A-sides and B-sides. It's never been on vinyl before, and I've collected those records since they came out in the 80s to have them all in one package. One program is very exciting.
You know what? I gotta say, I feel like I must have totally skimmed over that one in the list. I don't remember seeing that one because I don't have it in mind and I feel like I need it in my list.
Well, Terry Hall, we lost him 2 years ago. It was heartbreaking. He's definitely in the Mount Rushmore of UK 80s new wave. So to celebrate him with this release is pretty exciting.
Yeah. Well, my number five record is Nightmares on Wax, Car Boot. It It is the 25th anniversary of this release. Nightmares on Wax is George Evelyn, and it originally was a group consisting of George Evelyn and John Holland, and then also later Kevin Harper. But George Herbert Evelyn is an English DJ and record producer, and he's been Nightmares on Wax for a while. And Carboot Soul is the third studio album by Nightmares on Wax and was released in 1999. But I think it's kind of perfect because the original album was issued, had like a special issue with cigarette papers, rolling papers in 1999. So I think it's kind of perfect to be reissued again on 420 for Record Store Day, and also includes an exclusive 7-inch with two unreleased songs. So that's pretty awesome. And it's also in collaboration with De La Soul.
Nice.
I'm pretty excited about it. Yeah.
Very cool.
Very cool.
Actually, I have a question. That's interesting. You mentioned the cigarette papers or whatever. But for you, Eric, and also you, Tara, I love like the subcultures that kind of have these crossovers, you know, with music lovers. And I know comic books, you know, is a really popular one, and gaming and movies and things like that. What is the coolest additional collectible that you've seen packaged in one of these releases?
Wow. Over the years? Mm.
Yeah.
I mean, the originals, Cheech and Chong, Big Bamboo, came with a album-sized rolling paper. even as a kid, I knew that was special.
That's awesome.
But Kiss Love Gun came with a pop-out cardboard love gun that you could play with. And, over the years, Alice Cooper had a pair of panties instead of an inner sleeve for school out. the fun thing is when these things still are in there, when you get them in used.
Mm, yeah.
It was always Steve Martin's Wild and Crazy Guy came with a a picture of him with his white suit and a fish sticking out of his lapel. And he signed it Best Fishes. And you'll pretty much see one of those in every record store bathroom in America, if not the world.
That's funny. I'm going to have to keep my eye out for that now. That's great.
I always hear about the cool things but I never get them. I'm not ever too lucky to get any of those cool versions. But I did recently just get that box set, Alice in Chains box set. And it's got like a jar of flies in it that has a light in the cap. And then you can put it inside the box itself. And it looks like it's like a diorama that looks like a child from within looking through the jar. And it's got flies sort of on the front. It's very, very well done. I love it.
Wow. There have been some really bad choices over the years. There was a from the 90s grunge era, Rhino Records did a pack that was sealed, plastic sealed with coffee beans. And if you find them now, they're disgusting.
Oh, yeah.
They've rotted.
Oh, wasn't there a New Order record with like blood in it or something? Was that New Order?
Slayer did a blood filled record. I don't.
That makes more sense.
But
yeah, it does make more sense.
I don't know. I'm a pretty big New Order completist. I don't remember them. Prove me wrong.
What was that? I don't know which one it was. Oh, well, it was somebody who had like blood in the packaging or something like that. I don't remember.
Now, Factory Records, New Order's label, they had a band named Derudy Column, and their records came packaged in sandpaper. Which was really a fuck you.
You have to be very careful with that one too.
Yeah, your vinyl. You can't ever find them clean.
Oh yeah.
So I had the vinyl.
That's the best troll ever.
The cassette was like, who cares?
It's funny. I love Derudy Column though. Good choice.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, but speaking of like maybe that same vibe, more 90s. Did you Criminal Records called Eric's Trip or something like that before?
That's the name of my corporation.
Oh, okay. From the first Canadian band ever signed to Sub Pop in the 90s. And their first debut album was called Love, Tara.
Oh, no, I do love them, but it's actually after Sonic Youth, Daydream Nation.
Which is also one of my absolute favorite bands of all time. Yeah. We talk about them all the time in this store. Well, so it's your turn. What's your number four?
Probably not a big surprise considering my tastes. English Beat, second record, will happen. Just a monster record for me in my youth. Not my youth today. You know, it's still, you know, front and center in my lobe. And this one is packaged with, you know, a beautiful remaster, not a useless remaster and not a modern modern remaster, just a real cleanup job. Sonically, it sounds amazing. And an incredible second LP that's just B-sides and extended mixes and live tracks. I was always bummed out in the early days of my store that only like the hippie rock bands got preferential treatment, box sets and archival goodness. And I was just, where's New Order? Where's Joy Division? Where, you know, where's the stuff that I love getting the deluxe treatment? Well, we're kind of in that era now. And for me, this second English Beat record getting the deluxe treatment is just manna from heaven.
I've seen them live. They're really good live. They sound exactly like the record. I mean, not exact, but really close.
I'm misranking Roger and Saxa, but I am excited that they are signing this record at my friend's store, Cactus, in Houston, Texas.
Cool.
If I didn't have to be my own store, I'd probably go try and meet Dave Wakeling.
Okay, my next choice is not a singular band or artist. It's a soundtrack, and it's probably not the best pick. I don't know if it's the best pick, but I'm excited about it because I do love this soundtrack. I'm excited to actually have it on vinyl if I can get my hands on it. It is Lost in Translation. And Lost in Translation, as you know, is a movie that came out in 2003, Sofia Coppola movie. And of course, in true Sofia Coppola fashion, it's very moody, has songs from My Bloody Valentine, Jesus and Mary Chain, Kevin Shields from My Bloody Valentine, Square Pusher, Air, the most moody French band of all time, probably. And also includes a bonus LP that includes some additional songs that were included in the film, but not actually on the original soundtrack, from Peaches and Chemical Brothers, and of course, that famous karaoke scene. So I'm very excited to have that one.
We ordered a ton.
Oh, good.
I'm sure that I'll end up in my lower 15 if there's any leftover. It's a gorgeous suite of music.
It really is. It's a good choice selection of songs. All right, what's your next one?
I'm actually not going out on any limb. People who have been forced to listen to my selection of music knows that I'm a sucker for the shouty, beady, dreamy, girly pop. This artist, I don't know where she's from. I don't know her story. Ashniko.
My heart palpitations. She looks like the type to break it. Me and your girlfriend playing dress up in my house. I gave your girlfriend cunnilingus.
Her new album, Weed Killer, is just a banger, start to finish. It's just killer. Like Charlie XCX or Olivia Rodrigo. It's just wonder, girl discovery. This is her mixtape that came out prior. And I like all mixtapes. How can a record store owner say it came out if it was just on the internet? I mean, it's something I listened to and liked, but if I can't sell it, it's not a record. And so this is the first time this is on vinyl. And it's just, I haven't seen it yet. I've only seen a picture of it, but it's transparent pink, one of those Echo records, which is really cool. It's got a sleek mirror board, silver sleeve. And she's the future. I just can't wait to have this piece in my collection.
I don't know this person.
Yeah, I've never heard this name before. Can you give us a sounds like A and B kind of thing?
Oh, she's definitely part of Sophie's...
Computer music
thing, type. Yeah. Charlie XCX, yeah. Again. Sky Ferreira. Mm-hmm. Oh, God. Why can't I name all my favorite women?
That's a good list you've already listed there. It kind of seems, Natalie, like this would be up your alley.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you're speaking my language for sure. And she looks super cool. Yeah, I'm excited to check this out.
Oh, it's very boys disappoint me, but girls don't vibe.
Okay. I feel
we
you.
Love that.
I've been there. Yeah.
Filthy naughty. You know, just like, oh my. You know, it's like, ooh, girls shouldn't be talking like that, you know. But I mean, that's, or rather, I've never heard girls talk like that. I'm showing my age.
Sweet. I'll check her out.
Yeah.
That's why I like Peaches.
Yeah. If I had a daughter, I would like hope that she would be an Ashniko fan.
Oh, that's cool.
That's high praise for Ashniko.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, well, mine next one is Dean and Britta, La Ventura.
Sleep forever and the day. Lovely jewels, enjoy design. La, 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 la.
first vinyl release of this pressing or this album. So, yeah, it's Dean and Britta, musical duo consisting of Dean Wareham and Britta Phillips, both members of Luna. And Dean Wareham actually formed Luna in 1991 after he left his first band, Galaxy 500. So he's been in like some of the coolest bands ever. And then Britta Phillips, who was actually the voice of Jim from the cartoon, hello, joined Luna in 2000. And this album was released in 2003. And I had the CD. So again, I am very excited to have it on vinyl. Hopefully I can get my hands on this one. But what's also exciting about this record store day release is that it comes with a bonus LP, which contains the other EPs from them, Sonic Souvenirs and Words You Used to Say. So also both of those are on vinyl for the first time. So you're getting essentially three albums in one, all never been pressed to vinyl before. So this is very special and has some super cool covers, Madonna song, Buffy St. Marie song, and Silver Jews, which RIP Berman.
I believe there's an Atlanta connection for Dean or Britta.
Oh, really?
I would urge your customers to look up a editorial that Dean did this year or last year about the royalty rates from Spotify and other streaming services. It's very eye-opening. He makes a plea to buy, for people to buy his stuff physically because he's not making any money streaming.
Oh, God.
So to have this come out, you know, from them is very exciting.
But I mean, how much of a cut would they really get? Because my friend was in the band The Judy Bats, which, you know, there was a release not too long ago for Record Store Day. But I think they still owe their label so much money from when they got signed back in the 90s that they just don't ever get any cut from it. And in fact, he had trouble finding a copy of his own, which is sad.
But well, yeah. I mean, a lot of the music I like is major label. A lot of the music I like is pure indie. It's hard to get money out of any of those people.
Yeah.
I mean, the contracts were historically bad. I mean,
it's a bummer.
Labels don't make money by giving artists money. No, it's tragic.
Yeah.
It needs to be addressed along with the royalties from streaming.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
And that's actually the crux of Dean's article, is that he's talking about, why am I doing this for poverty? It's because he's an artist.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering how intensely the music industry and the whole landscape has shifted. Has that had any impact on, you know, how you think about the trajectory of your businesses and of the future of Record Store Day?
There's a term in the record industry called a 360 deal, which basically means that the labels are controlling every aspect of an artist's work, from merchandise to direct-to-consumer marketing to cuts of their live shows, stuff that was usually offhand, stuff that was usually the stuff bands made money on. Well, you know, if you sign to a major record label, I mean, it's exciting. I've tried to get bands I love to get it signed by labels. And, you know, even though I look at contracts and go, God, this part sucks. I'm not a lawyer, but this is not right. And it's just the oldest story.
Mm-hmm.
How does it affect my businesses?
Yeah, or just your outlook on your activities, if at all. Maybe it doesn't, you know.
I do local consignment. I purchase stuff outright. I provide a stage for local artists and for touring artists. I give away tickets to shows and help promote them. All this is gratis. I mean, this is just part of what any good record store should be doing.
Mm.
And politically, I don't fight with labels because my dog's not in that fight. I tried to do Criminal Records, the label, from the 90s through about 2015. And it hurt my soul so much. None of my artists, I thought all were wonderful, ever made anything or any. That's a failure. Something I'm always deeply troubled by.
That's a bummer, but you should consider it still an accomplishment that you've, you know, done or tried to do, I would say.
I've got accomplishments filling up my warehouse.
Oh, gosh. Well, on that note, let's talk about filling up your record shelves.
Yes.
What's your next pick?
There's a band with an Atlanta connection called Come, though. Definitely they were international. Thalia Zadek and Chris Brokaw, their drummer Arthur Johnson's from Atlanta. still lives here. It's quintessential outsider 90s. It rocks, but it's rumming and shoegazy and pained and largely unavailable for many, many years now, decades now. But man, that was a record that we played probably 3 or 4 times every day in Criminal Records. It's so nostalgic. And this one is, I only ever had the CD. There's no reason why. But for me, this was just in the car, in the store, constant replay. So this has the 9 original tracks are extended, including the first single, which was never on the CD or vinyl, and the flip side of the Rolling Stones' I Got the Blues, which is cool to have on one continuous album. And then I like this. I love when records have download links for something special inside, because I like my digital music too. So with this, you also get them live at the Vermin Stress Festival from 92, which is when they were just at the peak of their power. And I think anybody who likes Queens of the Stone Age or Sloth Rust or just any of that juicy stoner rock, these are the progenitors.
Perfect for 420. You know, I've never heard of this before, but I mean, it's on the Record Store Day site, says it's acclaimed by Dinosaur Jr.'s Jay Maskus, Husker Du's Bob Mould, and Kurt Cobain. And this is like right up my alley too. I am a 90s girly.
Oh, get this one. Move this to the top of your list.
I guess I need to. Yeah.
My interest has peaked as well. So if I wanted to introduce myself to the sound, is there like a track I should start with, an album I should start with?
This one, put it on. I mean,
what's the song?
I don't think I could name a song. It's an album.
Oh, okay.
It's where I just...
No skips.
Yeah. Lyrically, it's not, there's nothing, there's not a vocal that reaches out to me. It's just, oh, cool, come.
Sweet.
Cool. I'm definitely going to check that out. So yeah, I'm learning things. Well, appropriate that was a 90s one, because I got another 90s band for you. And this one, get ready to hear me ramble, because again, you could probably guess what it is. It's Sonic Youth. Let's be real.
Perfect.
Sonic Youth, hits are for squares. Actually, this was created for Starbucks, essentially, this compilation of all of these songs that's sort of maybe the hits, if you will, the things that the squares could listen to that aren't going to scare them away from listening to Sonic Youth. And it was created because, and similar to Record Store Day maybe a little bit, is that whole like declining of record stores because of digital media and Napster and faster internet and, you know, yada, 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 same old story. But they also wanted to just kind of expand their audience. So Sonic Youth was out there trying to do some marketing a little bit. And they originally were going to have Starbucks release Rather Ripped, but it was just like needed to go through too much approval and it was just taking too much time. So they came up with this compilation, which was actually curated. The songs were curated by a bunch of really cool people like Mike D from Beastie Boys, Radiohead, Portia de Rossi, Dave Eggers, the writer, Mike Watt, Eddie Vedder, Gus Van Sant, Chloe Segni, and Flaming Lips. And Flea, of course. So really cool that was how some of the songs were chosen. And I feel like Thurston was really smart here, because he was essentially saying like Sonic Youth is a brand name. Like everybody knows this band Sonic Youth, but not everyone's actually listened to the music of Sonic Youth. So let's put this shit in Starbucks and see how it goes. Kind of smart though, right? 1,000 copies of the album were printed as CDs that you could buy at your local Starbucks. But the album was also made for digital download. And then in 2010, it was reissued for Record Store Day. And so now it's for the first time again reissued since 2010. So this Record Store Day 2024, it's going to be pressed on gold nugget vinyl with gold foil jacket. So fancy. I'm very excited.
Well, I hate to rain on the parade, but you have to imagine you're a punk rock record store in the 90s.
Oh, yeah.
Who only drinks indie coffee and who's corporation is named after a Sonic Youth shop, and you couldn't have this CD. You weren't allowed right. to sell it.
Right. I don't have it on CD. And I have every studio album made by Sonic Youth. I have almost every SYR, I think, and I have everyone's solo stuff, but I don't have this CD.
I definitely gave Thurston on many of his one time of his many visits grief about it. And so he took it. He took it right. I'm sure. Why wasn't the first record store owner who tisked?
Or anyone, yeah.
He's got a good soul and a good heart. So
actually, I just saw him performing live on stage, an improv set with John Paul Jones.
Wow.
It was insane. It was crazy.
That reminds me of a story. And I don't know how long until your store closes, but I happened to be at Bonnaroo and I was the guest on Dave Matthews' bus for some reason.
Oh, interesting.
Probably that's where the weed was, if I recall. And we were playing the High Fidelity game and debut records, best songs. And a gentleman on one of the bunks, after we'd played for a few minutes, said, "Oh, what about my band?" And it was John Paul Jones.
What?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It was a very funny line. He got a big laugh. Of course, everybody was laughing on that bus.
I'm sure. That's amazing. Wow. Also, Bonnaroo is a Ashley Capps production, and I saw Thurston Moore and John Paul Jones at Big Ears Fest, which is also an Ashley Capps production. Knoxville.
Right on. There's a wonderful bunch of record stores in Tennessee as well, so it's a fun state to hop around.
Yeah. Wait, what's your favorite Tennessee record store?
I love Grimey's.
Oh, yeah. Nashville. Nice.
But I can't. Oh, there's a new Knoxville store. Not new. They're about 10 years old now.
Magnolia?
I thought it had dog in the name. I visited a bunch in Knoxville just because that's what you do when you go to a new city. And I wasn't disappointed with any of them.
Yeah, that's cool.
I have a question for you, Eric. So we're talking about locations and participating record stores for Record Store Day. Is there, and maybe there's not really an answer to this question, but is there a city or a country whose participation in Record Store Day kind of shocked you, where you thought, oh, wow, this thing really has scale?
Yeah, my favorite thing is when record stores make records and, you know, live at Shaken Records, live at Grimey's. He's had dozens of releases for Record Store Day. St. Louis record store owner Papa Ray releases these deep archival reggae releases that are just impeccable, truly better than any uncaring label could put together. This year's Record Store Day piece from them is Ika Mouse, which isn't on my list because he's given me one. but also Jackpot in Portland. They do the coolest stuff. And they've got four releases coming out this year. And all of them are compelling. They're difficult. They're like zombie rock and psychedelic blues. And, you know, stuff that's not my forte, but he also gives them to me as well. And they're always perfect. They're always just like lost treasure and beautifully mastered and beautifully printed. So, yeah, anytime, like I mentioned the Secret Buying Group, it's a gift. You know, if a record store makes a record, then it's a Record Store Day piece. And we're all giving it our attention.
You know, I just had a thought while you were saying that, and you mentioned Portland. But our friend of this store, Scott Leeds, just released this book that you might be interested in. It's called Schrader's Chord. And it's kind of a horror and music book. It's very Stephen King-esque, but it's about these like forbidden records that this guy is gifted in his dad's will, and they're kind of like haunted or cursed. That's all we'll say. But it's also, there's part of the plot is that the dad owned a record store.
Oh.
And they sort of play this cursed record in the record store. And there's a lot of talk about Big Star and other bands, and it seems like it has an amazing soundtrack for a book. You know what I mean? We're hoping one day this will be a movie and there will be an official soundtrack, but you should definitely check out this book. I feel like you would like it.
It's got a lot of fun Easter eggs for music aficionados.
Yeah.
I think you'd appreciate it.
There aren't many record store based books I haven't read, so.
Add that one to your list.
I will.
There's also an accompanying playlist if you're very curious.
That sounds great.
Now that I'm thinking about it, it could be really cool as a comic book series as well. Kind of like, not Paper Boys, but what's Blue Monday? The comic book that always references all the songs. And of course, Scott Pilgrim Saves the World has the songs listed usually. Yeah. Super cool. Anyways, sidetracking us there. I think it's your turn, right?
Is it my turn?
This is the number one picks.
The last of the five is the Meat Puppets.
Oh, snap.
Talk about 90s psychedelic, weed-based, memory-based. This was recorded in 1988 in their hometown in Montana. And they've just always been one of my favorite bands. They did a in-store at Criminal Records that was an out-store. They played in front. And this was 91, one of my first biggest in-stores. And they were on an old festival called the Horde Tour. And they were just kind of the 2 o'clock band. Didn't really get a good crowd response, didn't have fun. So the label guy said, you know, I'm sure Eric would love for you to play in the store. And it was a beautiful, beautiful day in Little Five Points. And there was a really good acid going around. That was very plentiful. And, you know, dogs and kids and carriages and, you know, punk rockers and hippies. And it was a real scene. And, you know, they thought in-store, you know, three to four songs, and then we're out. But it was so cool. I watched a police officer pull up in front of him, drive by, and I could see he was shaking his head. You know, the windows down, he was kind of shaking his head, grooving for, you know, probably 30 seconds. And he drove on, and the crowd went wild, just like,
oh my gosh,
super cool. And it was just, you know, Kurt Kirkwood looked at me, and I was like, go, go, man, go. And it ended up being just a righteous, long jam. So good.
That's amazing.
That's awesome.
Yeah, to hear this record, double album live, far out, man, right on.
Yeah. What do you like most about owning a record store? Is it those moments, things like that?
Those are great memories. I mean, I've made wonderful connections that have lasted forever. You know, it is like when you see Thurston walk in, it's like, hey, how are you? Chris Morris from Circle Jerks came in the other day and asked for me, and I was like, oh, wow, cool. You know, just,
wow.
You know, he was in town with Circle Jerks, and, you know, I've known him for years, since the 80s. And yeah, I've mentioned weed a lot. I am sober now, but I was also, oh, I'm that record store guy in Atlanta. We can visit. So that was always fun.
That is fun.
Good memories.
Yeah. I'm down to my last pick.
Well, Tara, I'm eager for this one because I'm not shocked to hear Sonic Youth make your list, but I'm shocked they weren't number one. So
I know, right?
Who could possibly top them?
And it's not the fact that it's this group that has made it the number one. I think it's the fact that Record Store Day is providing this to the public because it's not been released in so long. And that's why it's on the top of my list, because it's such a special release, I guess. And that is, actually, Natalie, you, I know I'm just going to like keep dragging this out, but you're going to like this one because we've talked about this one in the store before with Rachel Hayden.
Oh, yeah.
The Roaches, their debut album.
Ooh. Come on,
that's cool.
Yeah. It's their 45th anniversary of their debut album. The Roaches are American vocal trio of sisters Maggie, Terry, Susie Roach from Park Ridge, New Jersey, but is also produced by Robert Fripp, who plays guitar, and a version of his Frippertronics, which we've also talked about in our tech convos, our music history convos about looping. So, very cool. This record, again, it's 45th anniversary, and it's the first US LP reissue in 40 years. 40 years! That's crazy. And it's going to be on Ruby Red vinyl, which is so fun. But yeah, it's really just that the fact that it's 45th anniversary, and first U.S. reissue in 40 years. It just feels special.
Wow.
For a cult classic album like this. I mean, back in the day, 1979, Rolling Stone gave it 5 stars and New York Times called it the best pop record of 1979. But you don't ever really hear anyone talking about the Roaches, you know, so well, I'm excited about it.
Obligatory shout out to the Animaniacs, of course.
Right.
Which is like how I discovered them. And it's still my favorite band discovery of all time. That's super
through
cool.
The Animaniacs, yeah. The cartoon Roaches sisters. And it was them, actually. What didn't
it
we
was actually
it?
Them. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that.
In 91.
That was a hard record to order. It's like, oh. Because the younger staff who have their opinions had no idea. And then the older staff are like, oh man, you got to have at least 30. And
Yeah,
and it's that was pretty an even split where like, no, we just buy more Taylor. Like, no, sell the Roaches to Taylor's fans.
Yeah. We played the High Fidelity game with Rachel Hayden of That Dog. We talked about bands or groups that had siblings in them, and this was on her list, I believe. So it was a fun conversation with her. I'm going to get that one for sure.
Excellent.
That's super cool. That leads to another question. And, you know, I'm kind of new to this game, so hopefully I can ask it in a way that makes sense. But is there a record for the both of you that has eluded you for years, for decades, that you would love to see a reissue for? Or maybe there's something that you've never seen in the wild that you would, it would just be your dream discovery, your dream pick.
Guys, I have a list of them on my phone saved. I really do.
Just in case, right.
Yeah. So Eric, if you ever need any suggestions for Record Store Day releases, just let me know. If we ever need any stuff that's probably not very popular for nerdy people like us that haven't been reissued. Really?
Yeah.
I'll send it to you. Yeah. I mean, like the Features, for example, they're an East Tennessee band, but they have a bunch of albums that are just CD only. And I don't think anyone would buy this except for me and maybe a couple other people regionally, maybe. It's things like that that I miss. There's even like the Super Jag, Regretfully Yours. It's so hard to come by. It's so expensive. If there's anyone you can find that wants to sell it. I was a little bit like that with Alice in Chains' Jar of Flies, but thank goodness they reissued that one. Yep. So
that was always
so many
on the want list for sure.
Yeah. Ben Folds 5, Whatever and Ever Amen. I had that one on my want list forever from Discogs, and it was always like $200 or more. Yep. They just had a reissue and I pre-ordered it. So hopefully that comes in May. Yeah.
Cool.
I have
very cool.
A massive list.
I know you're on
you,
top
Eric?
Of it.
Yeah.
I've asked Warner Brothers for years now to make Talking Heads Stop Making Sense came out in a Robert Rauschenberg package. It was clear vinyl when nobody was making see-through vinyl. And Robert had 3 pieces of film, yellow, blue, and red, with his imagery as part of this big plastic package that he did for the release. And every single one you see now is brittle and yellow. You can barely touch them because they fall apart. And my suggestion to Warner Brothers was just make the package. There are enough records out there that people, I'd buy that for $30 just to put my old record in.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah.
And that's a piece of art history. See, I think that's the job of Record Store Day, to really do cool things like that.
Yeah.
The 3-inch records that we've been doing in Japan this year. There's the Beatles and Metro Boomin, Spider-Man, branded turntables and little records. Like, okay, awesome. That might be gimmicky and too expensive for some customers, but I want a Metro Boomin turntable on my desk.
I mean, so in the 80s, I remember getting an ALF record. It was just like cardboard that had grooves on it from like some sort of Happy Meal situation. Not a Happy Meal because that's McDonald's, but I'm pretty sure it was Arby's or Hardee's or something like that. Yeah. And it was ALF. Like, what? I wish we had more things like that. Like those
little special.
It was
probably Arby's. Arby's had like the really wacky kids' meals prizes.
It felt like it should be Arby's. It feels like it's Arby's. It might, one of the two. Hardee's, Arby's. It rhymes, those two. Yeah.
Well, we've got something really coming out, really cool coming out in Atlanta that you'll have to, next time in the store, I'll have to tell you about it. It's right up there with an Alf Arby's record.
Nice. Okay.
Even better.
Oh, man.
Well, an Atlanta institution are making about 10,000 7-inches to give away to their fans. So it's a big promotion, but they have to announce it first. There's a little sneak peek.
Ooh, stay tuned. Well, I am really excited about both of your lists. I've learned a lot. I've got some things to listen to, some old things to revisit. I want to hear what you guys have on your list for like honorable mentions. What things didn't make the top five? What about you, Eric?
Well, I thought I was picking 10. So my next five are easy, ending with my truly the number one release that I hope to get. But The Replacements Live works out perfectly with all my other Replacements records, which is all the other Replacements records. These guys were renowned for putting on horrible shows or wonderful shows. So my guess is this will be a wonderful one. The Talking Heads Live is the extended version of Talking Heads 77. So, okay. They played more songs on that epic two-album set. So that's a must-have. The Various Artists Jazz Dispensary, like The Replacements, I've got every other Jazz Dispensary release, and they're pretty much perfect and perfect for 420. The first album by Electrofiction, which is Ian McCulloch and Will Sargent from Echo and the Bunnymen. Never before on LP. I love them. I don't think I've heard it in 25 years. So that's a must have. And just one of the greatest people I've ever met, just a beautiful soul, beautiful person. Kristen Hirsch's first solo record, Hips and Makers. First time on vinyl, beautiful package again. But just if it reminds me of her, my short time hanging out with her, then it'll be wonderful.
So she's actually on my list too. She's from Atlanta. Did you know that?
No.
I only just learned that. She's from Atlanta. Born in Grady, I think, but now she lives in Louisiana, of course. I just saw her live at Big Ears also. It was just her acoustic set. It was beautiful. It was amazing. Yeah, her voice is like one of a kind. I mean, a little bit like Sam Phillips too, but I love her voice so much. And of course, 90s throwing muses, love them so much.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to get that one. Another one is I'm probably going to get The Cure top, even though I get very annoyed with all the picture discs that they always put out for Record Store Day. Like, why does it have to be a picture disc, please?
I don't disagree. They're expensive and at least they sound better than the old picture discs.
That's true. They're so hard to see though if I'm like trying to actually DJ with them.
Yep.
But I love The Cure, so I'll get it anyways. The Slits in the beginning will be super cool. And this is so silly, but I have the Dazed and Confused soundtrack already on vinyl. And so I have to have the even more Dazed and Confused 30th anniversary release.
That's not funny at all.
Yeah. Is it not? Okay. Yep. Another one, probably perfect for 420. I mean, there's so many I have on my list, but I don't know what I'll really boil it down to. The Everything But the Girl.
Oh, those release. Are great. I got a digital preview of that.
Ooh, it's good.
It's so good.
Okay. Well, then you've sold me on that one. Hopefully Criminal Records has enough copies to go around.
We ordered up on that because I had heard it. And
oh, good.
Yeah, another record store owner friend out of Indianapolis at Luna Music is like vacation buddies with them.
Oh, he's wow.
Like, hey, you know, check this out. It was like a year ago. And I was like, oh, I think that might be a record store piece. He's like,
I'm sorry, what? How can you be vacation buddies with Tracy Thorn?
How can we be vacation buddies with right. Tracy Thorn? That's the question.
Ben Watt. I mean, I'm, you know.
Or Ben Watt, right. Sure.
We all have buddies, you know. He has done enough for them. He released early stuff on his label.
Yeah. Schoolie D, Saturday Night, that first vinyl reissue of that.
Old Boogie Down Pop. Productions, Edutainment, yeah. One of the most important hip-hop records of all time.
That's yes. Super cool.
And it's a double, you know, spread yeah. out, sounding fine.
Nice.
I mean, there's a bunch, but those are, I guess, the highlights of my short list.
Cool, cool. Well, I know you mentioned a little bit of this earlier, Eric, but can you let the folks in the store know what to expect if they come out to hang out for Record Store Day? What else can they expect?
Well, per usual, we printed up 500 for the first 500 people, obviously, of our Ronnie Land design tote bag, and it's gorgeous this year. And we have tons and tons of giveaways and really, well, the theme of the day, the theme of the entire month is a tribute to Dexter Romweber, who recently passed. He's the founder of the Flat Duo Jets and a stalwart Southern gentleman, amazing performer, touched a lot of lives and affected a lot of musicians. And first and foremost, Sean Marshall of Cat Power, who aped a lot of her early stuff just from his influence. Sean was in town doing her Dylan tribute the day that Dexter passed away. And she had a bit of a wake in her home with local musicians impromptu playing Dex's songs. That led to a tribute at the Earl on the 25th, which we just wanted to promote. Like, we would do an in-store for anyone's main performance. This is 10 bands doing their preview sets for that show. And we'll have tickets for the show and giveaways. But we also have really cool raffle prizes that we'll do. Actually, not raffle, auction, silent auction. And we got a full arcade machine that, I just started asking label and distributor friends. So we got this arcade machine. REM sent a surprise package with all this cool archival stuff and patches.
What?
We got a Def Jam box set that's like 8 LPs and a turntable, flip-up lid, and a T-shirt. And the prizes are still rolling in. We got a Devo prize package.
What?
I might bid on. It's so sweet.
Amazing.
So, yeah, that's going to be that was just when it came together, and it came together perfectly, including two of Sean's bands. So yeah. We're going to use a drum kit for all 10 bands. Just leave it set up.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Well, I'm very excited, and I will be in line very early that day. So hopefully I'll see you there.
I will be there.
Yeah. It's going to be a blast. It sounds like it's a celebration, really, right? Just fun for the whole family, something for everybody. Just yep. Come out and support.
It's a party.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, it's starting to get dark here. I think we should start closing up. What do you think, Natalie?
Yeah, I think so. Eric, thank you so much. It's been an absolute honor that you would stop by on such a special day to chat with us for a bit. Thank you so much.
Thank you all.
Yeah, thank you. Maybe we could do this annually. Just rank our Record Store Day picks.
Very cool.
Yeah, sweet.
Cool. Okay. Well, yeah, I'm tired. I'm going to sign off.
It's a wrap. All right. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye. Congrats, you've made it to the end. Now let's see what some of the friends of the store have to say about what their top picks are.
Hey, this is Jada Abello here in St. Petersburg, Florida, and the RSD releases I'm most excited about are Harmonia, Music von Harmonia, Anniversary Edition, Mejor de los Nuggets, Psych and Garage from Latin America, Mr. Bongo's latest Brazil 45s collection, curated by DJ Coco, and lastly, Soul Jazz Records reissue of their Punk 45 comp, Kill the Hippies, Kill Yourself. Happy Record Store Day!
My number one Record Store Day pick is Kristen Hirsch's Hips and Makers.
I think last night you were driving circles around me.
It's finally getting a vinyl reissue, and it includes all the B-sides from the album along with the Strings EP. My second choice is Kate Bush's Eat the Music 10-inch. I don't really need yet another version of Eat the Music, but I can't resist a 10-inch vinyl, and I can't resist a Kate Bush release.
This is Sean from Atlanta. My top RSD releases for this year include the Television Live at the Academy release. This was taken in 92, and these songs are from primarily from Television's third album. These songs have never been given the due that they deserve, so I'm excited to add the vinyl copy of this one. Next is the related Tom Verlaine box set of his first four solo albums. This is the first time these have been re-released, so I'm super excited for that set. Next is the Willie Nelson Phases and Stages release. This is honestly Willie at his best. It's a 70s release after he signed to Atlantic and kind of reignited his career. Finally is Rain Parade's Emergency Third Rail Power Trip reissue. This is really difficult to find in original format, and even the previous reissues are also difficult to find. So this Paisley Underground staple is one I'm very excited about.
Record Store Society is hosted by Natalie White and Tara Davies. If you'd like to contact the show, visit our website at recordstoresociety.com, or you can find us on all your favorite social media sites with the handle at Record Store Society.